10.
They come to the wire, and Ali Sheba, America's horse, has done it.
9.
This is unbelievable. Zenyatta, what a performance, one we'll never forget.
8.
Wise Dan's got him. Wise Dan, brilliant in the mile.
7.
But there is absolutely no stopping Songbird. It is all Songbird. Mike Smith aboard, crushing the field.
6.
And Coach Zephyr is pulling away impressively.
5.
Mucho Macho Man, the more they ask, the more he gave.
4.
And it's a vintage performance by Vino Rosso in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
3.
Here is our king to win it in an absolute shocker. He's 99-1.
2.
He's an everlasting credit to the sport. American Pharoah has belted a Grand Slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
1.
Arrowgate still coming. California Chrome. Arrowgate steals the show in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown on HRRN, presented by Hillendale Farms. Now, let's go live to Del Mar and join host Bobby Newman.
That is really?
And good morning. Welcome to day 3 of the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms. Bobby Newman alongside Jude Feld at the beautiful Del Mar Thoroughbred Club. We are sitting just in the front of the grandstand facing the racetrack right now between the 16th pole and the finish line on a typical foggy November morning here at Del Mar. These are typical conditions for this time of year and this part of the world, Jude. The fog almost always out in the mornings, lifts by the afternoon, probably going to have sunny skies for the live racing today. Temperature right now in the high 50s. We're going to get to the mid-60s. We originally thought around 70 degrees for both tomorrow and Saturday's Breeders' Cup races. I think they've lowered their expectations as far as for the high temps, but probably mid to high 60s both tomorrow and Saturday. Sunny skies for the Breeders' Cup races.
Yeah, it's going to be beautiful, I think. All the forecasters are saying sun, and the afternoons here are just gorgeous. We had beautiful weather yesterday, blue skies and some nice fluffy clouds. Do I sound like Bob Ross?
You do. And we just completed a renovation break here at Del Mar. The tractors went by. They've cleared. And now there are several horses coming back onto the racetrack, including this year's Kentucky Derby winner, Medina Spirit, who is making his way down past around the clubhouse turn to get to us on the main track. As time goes by, a Baffert entrant in this year's Breeders' Cup Distaff just passing in front of us. We're going to see a lot of the European runners coming out too. We saw a lot of the Euros already this morning in the previous session. In fact, a lot of the Charlie Appleby runners were out. We saw Master of the Seas. He looked great breezing on the turf. Walton Street, Albar, the Space Blues, who's the morning line favorite for this year's Breeders' Cup Mile, went screaming by on the turf. Beer was also out. Cachet out this morning. Vertiginous for Brian Meehan was also out. Mise en Scène was out. So a lot of the Euros, Dubawi legend, also out. But there are going to be more to come. We're going to get another wave of the Euros, mostly doing some maintenance on the main track as they get ready. In addition, Hot Rod Charlie has made his way out onto the main track. He actually backtracked. He's right in front of us now, making the turn, heading back the correct direction. All the serious work is out of the way for these runners. They're really just stretching their legs and getting in their final feel-good mornings before their big days. Malathat, who's going to be a major player in the distaff, also right in front of us for Todd Pletcher.
Yeah, Malathat, she's been looking great every morning. Beautiful filly, and Hot Rod Charlie's been galloping like a freight train every day. So we expect more of the same from both of those, and this is the nervous time for the trainers. They don't want anything to happen to their horses, of course, and they're just thankful when everybody gets home safe and looking good.
And thankfully, we haven't had any news since yesterday. By the way, Chris Davis's American Sanctuary parading out in front of us right now. He'll be one of the longer shots in the field in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile this year. There goes Medina Spirit, and a nice, easy gallop past the finish line. And he looked really good yesterday. He's really not doing a whole lot today other than just getting a little stretch of the legs. But Medina Spirit going to be a major player in this year's Breeders' Cup Classic. I have a question for you, Jude.
All right.
And it's a tough question. With all that's happened surrounding Medina Spirit this year, he is technically the Kentucky Derby winner. He's innocent till proven guilty. If he were to win the Breeders' Cup Classic, what are the chances that the Eclipse voters would vote him Horse of the Year?
That's a very good question because, Eclipse voting, even though it's done by people in the know, it's still a popularity contest, as are most votes. So I don't know for sure if the bulk of the voters would vote for him. I mean, they probably should. If he does that, then he probably is the Horse of the Year. But people have different feelings about what's gone on this year with the trainer and how everything's panned out. So I would say it's about 50-50 that he could be Horse of the Year. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's a tough call because usually it would be a slam dunk. If you win the Kentucky Derby and win the Breeders' Cup Classic, that's it, hands down, your Horse
enough.
Of the Year. But this is a different year, and obviously there's a lot of popularity involved. A horse that's going to have a major say in whether or not Medina Spirit or Hot Rod Charlie wins the Breeders' Cup Classic is Essential Quality. He just came trotting by us the opposite direction, and he'll probably make the turn and get to stretch his legs. We saw some of the Euro contingent backtracking. Sisfahan, who I know is one that you're very interested in, has made good appearances. And you know what? The weather has been conducive to where all of the horses like it. We really have not seen horses that look like they're not enjoying it out here this week at Del Mar.
Yeah, I was explaining that to somebody yesterday that was asking me about Del Mar because I trained here for 20 years, and I told him horses just seem to perk up when they come down here. I don't know if it's being close to the ocean, the negative ions in the air. Even the people have a sense of well-being when they come to Del Mar. So it's easy for the horses to feel good and look good and train good. So it's a place that really seems to rejuvenate horses, especially the older horses. They really like it down here. So I'm happy to be at Del Mar.
Folks, Horse Racing's World Championships are here. You can bet the Breeders' Cup risk-free with TVG. That's right. New TVG players can get started with a risk-free bet up to $300. That means you'll get up to $300 back if your horse doesn't win. The TVG app is so easy to use and gives you all the tools you need. You'll get access to free picks, analysis, and wagering advice from industry experts. The Breeders' Cup takes place tomorrow and Saturday, so now is the perfect time to give TVG a shot. Just sign up with the promo code HRRN for your chance to bet risk-free up to $300. That's right. Promo code HRRN to place your first win bet risk-free exclusively on TVG.com/HRRN and the TVG app. Reminder, age, residency, and other eligibility restrictions apply. New users only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires after 30 days. See terms at TVG.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. We've got another packed day, or packed morning, as it were, here on the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hill and Vale Farms. We'll be joined by a couple of trainers who are going to have horses in the Breeders' Cup. Richard Baltus going to send out Ginobili and Going to Vegas on Saturday here at Del Mar. Dick Mandela, who once won 4 Breeders' Cup races in a day back in 2003, the Hall of Famer, going to join us. He's got one horse on the also eligibles tomorrow, but he's got several horses entered for Saturday as well. Ned Toffey, the general manager of Spendthrift Farm, will be joining us a little bit later this morning. Spendthrift well represented by runners both tomorrow and Saturday in the Breeders' Cup. Conrad Banderoff, the vice president of Denali Stud, going to talk about their program. Malafat actually went through their program, ended up selling for over $1 million as a yearling. And owner George Krikorian going to join us live this morning. He owns the very good Turf Philly Warlike Goddess, who is looks like a major player, especially from the U.S. contingent, as they get ready for that Philly and Mare Turf. By the way, Max Player just jogging by us. He's another horse who could benefit in the Breeders' Cup Classic if horses like Nix Go and Medina Spirit and maybe Art Collector all, you know, set a blazing early pace. Max Player really has come into his own for Steve Asmussen, and he's another one that could make some late ground in that race. My Sister Nat now going by us for trainer Chad Brown as well. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by international racing aficionado and friend of the program, Bob Nastanovich, talk about some of the European invaders that we're going to see over the next 2 days here at the Breeders' Cup. You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms on HRRN.
Multiple Grade 1 winner, Charlatan. Winner of the Grade 1 Malibu by 4.5 lengths.
What a spectacular return for Charlatan, who will romp in the Run Happy Malibu Stakes by 4.5 emphatic lengths.
And a dominating winner of the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby by 6 lengths.
And Charlatan is going to run them off their feet and win the Arkansas Derby.
By champion sire Spitestown, out of Breeders' Cup Distaff placed Authenticity. Charlatan, standing at Hillendale Farms.
Coming this November, it's the America's Best Racing Fan Choice Awards. Covering the best of the sport and lifestyle, all decided by the fans. Here's your chance to vote. The America's Best Racing Fan Choice Awards.
Champions are returning to Gulfstream for the championship meet starting December 3rd until April 3rd. Witness the best thoroughbred racing Wednesday through Sunday with weekly stakes races. Returning for its sixth year this January is the 2022 Pegasus World Cup with world-class racing, delectable cuisine, stunning celebrities, and iconic fashion. New for 2022 is the third graded stakes race, the Pegasus Turf for fillies and mares with a $500,000 purse. Tickets go on sale November 8th. Visit PegasusWorldCup.com to learn more and get tickets.
HRRN is your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Tune in on Friday, November 5th, beginning at 5:30 p.m. Eastern, and Saturday, November 6th, beginning at 3 p.m. Eastern, for total coverage of every Breeders' Cup race, live from Del Mar. The Breeders' Cup World Championships on HRRN. Hear it on Sirius 219, XM 201, and streaming live online at horseracingradio.net.
Okay, this is Carl Nasker, and I listen to HRRN.
This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms.
They're coming to the top of the stretch now. Niccolo Polo on the outside, Simply Majestic toward the rail. Those two are head-to-head, and here comes the French filly, Miesque, charging hard on the outside. Steinland is now fourth, and now they're down to the final furlong. Miesque is charging hard to take the lead now. She's looking for back-to-back wins in the Breeders' Cup mile, and she's leading by three and pouring it on, pulling away impressively here. Miesque has won it. Oh, Miesque, what a filly. And Freddie Head does it again. Absolutely sensational. He knew he had a tremendous filly underneath him. He wasn't concerned early, and she gunned down this international field in the stretch.
Tom Durkin on the call of the 1988 Breeders' Cup Mile, won by the French filly Miesque. That was her second consecutive win in the mile. She won in 87 at Hollywood Park, comes back in 1988 under Freddie Head, and wins at Churchill Downs. Welcome back to the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms, Bobby Newman and Jude Feld. Pleased to be joined now by our good friend and international racing aficionado, Bob Nastanovich, here live at Del Mar. Bob, welcome to the show. We need a lot of help with these Euros.
Oh, you'll be fine. But I'll do everything I can. There's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them, and we're seeing a lot of them go by. We saw a lot of the Charlie Appleby runners actually getting some good breezes on the turf. Not official workouts, but really stretching their legs on the turf this morning. We've seen a lot of the other European invaders just kind of trotting around the main track going the opposite direction. Sisfahan just came by for the second straight time. And like most,
don't overlook Sisfahan.
We're not going to overlook anything. You know what?
You just made my day.
We need a lot of help. So you know what? There are a lot of European invaders this year.
The LASIKs, a lot of purse money.
you huge can't opportunity. And you know what? The Euros for years have done very, very well in Breeders' Cup races. Not only the turf races, but, you know, some surprises on the dirt. Of course, Arkang is the one that really Sheik comes Al-Badou. To mind. Sheik Al-Badou got the job done, Rossi. Beating Housebuster in the sprint. Yeah. Was it 1991, I believe?
Absolutely, yep.
Yeah, I watched
that. Of course,
that.
Deja would have won.
Deja had a little bit of a jumping incident as they came near the wire. But Mendelssohn, another one.
Yep, ran very respectfully.
So there have been several. But as far as the turf races go, you know, they're loaded top to bottom both Friday and Saturday with invaders from places other than North America. So let's just start with Friday.
Perfect.
Because a lot of us don't get to see a lot of these races. You know, we can watch tapes. You know, we have a little bit of an advantage now with, like, YouTube, where we can go back and watch. You know, 20 years ago, we were just kind of trusting what we heard, what the word was on horses like Dancing Brave and Trempolino and horses like that. So let's start with Friday. We've got three turf races for the two-year-olds, starting with the turf sprint. Anybody catch your eye, horses that we should pay attention to?
Yeah, I'll start right off with a one-horse, Twilight Jet. I saw him race. I was at Newmarket on October 8th. He's been had a very busy two-year-old campaign. After the race, Michael O'Callaghan, they won the race easily, O'Callaghan and Roach. He's a very quick and durable son of Twilight Sun. And Michael O'Callaghan said he's the best horse he's ever trained. Now, he's a relatively new trainer, but he's trained some very good horses. I knew he drew the one hole. That's a negative for many two-year-olds. I don't think as seasoned as this horse is that it'll affect him at all. I think he has a fantastic chance. The four-horse Vertiginous, who's trained by Brian Meehan, of course, won the Breeders' Cup Turf with Red Rocks. Frankie rode, I believe that was at Churchill, wasn't it?
Yeah. I won't forget that day.
Yeah, Vertiginous is kind of interesting. He's bred to, like, you know, firm turf. He's been very consistent. He's only won the one race. I think the most consistent and reliable Euro in the race is the seven-horse Armor. He's extremely honest. He's trained by Richard Hannon. He's ridden by Ryan Moore. He's the son of No Nay Never. And he had a very unappealing trip in his last start. He was drawn on the wrong side of the course, and I sort of noticed that he really sort of battled on and ran a good race. So the two Euros I like in here, both who are decent prices, are the one Twilight Jet and the seven Armor.
You know, the inside here in turf sprints is a really good post.
It's good. Yeah,
much better than, like, Saratoga, where you almost throw the horses out if they draw the rail.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you something, Jude. Like, don't they normally run eight horses in five furlong turf races? Aren't they running 12?
Yes, that's true. Yeah. They limit it to eight in the turf sprints.
Yeah.
The funny thing is about this turf course, the speed does very well in the sprints. The closers are awesome in the routes here. It doesn't matter how slow the pace is.
Right.
They come running. You really need to be good to go gate to wire in a turf route here. We saw it actually with yesterday's opening day races. The closers just were great in the turf routes. But the sprints, the speed has a chance. Horse you didn't mention that's been very consistent in his career is Hierarchy.
Right.
I know there's some people that like Hierarchy with O'Shane Murphy. What are your thoughts on her? On him?
Yeah, it's a really nice Mamos colt out of a milk at McMare, bred to be very quick. I think the fact that the horse is turning back to five furlongs is very interesting. That ought to make appeal. I think he's got a chance. I mean, let's face it. This is a very, very tough race. I mean, Wesley, the American horses are very good in here. And this five furlong layout here, as you said, on firm turf, ought to really appeal to really quick horses. So it ought to be right in Wesley Ward's ballpark. I do think of all these horses, I think Go Bears Go, who's David Lochnane, also comes from the UK. I think he's a little bit overmatched. I think he's already run his best races this season, the three Go Bears Go. Hierarchy is interesting to me, but I really sort of greatly prefer Armor, and I really do like Twilight Jet, who's going to be a pretty large price.
There are several Euros in both the Juvenile Fillies turf and the Juvenile turf. What are your thoughts on those two races Friday?
I love a horse in the Juvenile Fillies turf, which goes off as race 8 on Friday's card at 4:10. I really love the French Invader, the 12-horse Malavath, who's trained by Francis-Henri Graffard and Chanty, and will be ridden by Ryan Moore for the first time. Has only ever sprinted, is also by Mamos, who's a very successful stallion, has a very stout pedigree, and seems like she has been crying out for more distance all season. And if you watch her race, which you can do on YouTube and on the France Galop website, when she won a Group 2 at Chantilly on October 9th over six furlongs, she obviously was she relished the six furlongs on heavy ground. She's very versatile in regards to the going. The firm turf shouldn't bother her at all. And I think she has a very, very strong chance to run a huge race. So I think the two turns and the added distance will really help her. One filly that I saw over there that really impressed me is the 13. Also a closer, a very good-looking filly named Mizen Sen, who's by the incredibly popular stallion Sayuni out of a Galileo mare. So that's two turns all the way. That's James Ferguson, who trains in Newmarket with Oisin Murphy, the British champion rider, riding her. He's the retained rider for the owner, Guitar Racing. So she looked well. She's very attractive, and she ran a nice race in the Phillies Mile. So I love Malavath in there, and I really like the 13 Mizen Sen.
There are four Euros in the Juvenile Turf Race 10 on tomorrow's card. Who of those strikes your fancy?
A really wide-open race. I was particularly disappointed when the 14-horse Dubawi Legend, who I really like, drew the 14-hole. I'm not sure how much of a negative that is. This horse ran a marvelous race behind the best two-year-old in England, a Godolphin horse called Native Trail, who was put away after winning the other day at Newmarket. He looked the winner and just got worn down by a really high-quality two-year-old. I think he's going to run a big race. I think the 14 post is a negative, but he's my number one choice. A lot of people will be interested in the Godolphin horses, the one Modern Games and the two Albar. I think that both of them are very good. I think Albar beat a weak field at Woodbine myself. And Modern Games, I think it has a better chance. He's ridden by the Godolphin's number one rider, William Buick. I'm not a huge fan of either. I don't think that they're top shelf Godolphin horses.
We just saw several of the Aidan O'Brien contingent go by us in a procession. Mogul, Japan, Brilliant Philly Love, Bolshoi Ballet, all making their way past the stands. Their major work is in. They're just kind of stretching their legs before their big days, either tomorrow or Saturday here in the Breeders' Cup. Let's move to Saturday, Bob.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of European runners in there. And we'll start with the turf sprint. We saw Euro win the turf sprint last year at Keeneland. A very roughly run version of the turf sprint where Glass Slippers was able to beat the boys and win a race that typically is not won by the European runners. There are two or three Euros in this race. How's Glass Slippers doing, and do any of these have a chance to win this year?
Glass Slippers ran a very nice race the other day at Longchamp. I think that everything, like you mentioned, fell in place for her at Keeneland last year. I think she's a top-flight filly. But the circumstances out here going five furlongs as opposed to, it was five and a half last year at Keeneland, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that five furlongs on this turf course might be a little bit, things might be happening too fast. Like you mentioned before, it favors horses closer to the lead. I prefer her stablemate, the two horse, Emiratiana is his name. He beat Europe's best sprinter last year, the recently retired Starman at Haydock last time. I think Emirati Anna, ridden by Andriette Zaney and trained by Kevin Ryan, who won the race last year, has a very good chance. The six horse, A Case of You, won the race at Longchamp, the five furlong race. I think that this surface is just going to be too quick for the Adrian McGinnis trainee.
Yeah, what about that? The difference between Longchamp and
Well, it runs
day.
Straight.
Yeah.
It's a very unusual course. You can't
and
really
it was
tell
a bog. So, almost like you almost have to throw those results out. Is that true?
That you or? Have to, other than, the fact that, Glass Slippers obviously ran a decent third. She was well beaten, but she did flash home and finish pretty well. I think, in my opinion, A Case of You, that's a massive win for him at the end of the season. I'm surprised that he turned up here. I hope he runs a good race, but I think he's a play against.
By the way, Bob Baffert's two-year-old Corniche, undefeated and breaking from the outside post in the juvenile, just jogging by. I'm telling you right now, Jude, if that horse wins, I lose. Really? I am against Corniche with both hands.
I don't understand it.
Tomorrow.
But,
okay.
Post, I mean, the post is bad. Like, yeah.
I'm a non-believer. Yeah. Listen, you got to take chances.
No.
Let's get back to the Euro contingent. There are seven Euros trying the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf on Saturday, including the defending champ, Adaria. Who do you prefer in that race?
There's some very interesting horses in here. The three, Akinella, who's owned by Judmont, is going to be a huge price. Obviously, Judmont has a tremendous history in the race. We've got Banks Hill and Intercontinental. Akinella comes from Ireland. She's trained by Jur Lyons. She's ridden by the champion rider in Ireland, Colin Keane. She ought to love firm turf. She's going to be a big price. I wouldn't leave her out. One horse that will take a lot of play is Rougier, who won the Prix de l'Opera on Arc Day. I think she needs soft ground. I don't think that she's going to like the ground that she encounters here at Del Mar. I think it's very sporting of them to come over and take a chance. The same connections, Cedric Rossi, the trainer and the owner, Lara de la Gusserie, they won the Ascot British Champions with Seal Away, ran unsuccessfully in the Breeders' Cup last year. I think Rougier will take a lot of money and is a play against. To me, the race comes down to Aidan O'Brien's best chance to win a race this weekend, and that's Love. A lot of people think that Love has not had a great season. By her standards, she hasn't, but she hasn't run a bad race. And she looks fantastic. I saw her a little while ago on the track. She looks marvelous. She's a total pro, and I fully expect Adaria to bounce back to her best form. I think the fact that she's back here, James Fanshawe is an outstanding trainer. William Buick, the 12-hole, doesn't bother me at all. To me, it's a two-horse race between Love and Adaria.
And Adaria coming onto the track now to stretch her legs this morning at Del Mar. The Breeders' Cup Mile has a few Euros in it, including the morning line favorite Space Blues. Who's your what are your fancies in that race?
It's Godolphin's best chance to win a race this weekend. They might win more than one. Space Blues, I think, is the trainer is very bullish on his chances. He's a beautifully bred son of Dubawi out of a Novira mare. He's morning lines 3-1. That would be an absolute steal if you can get 3-1. Take it. I think he's got a serious favorite's chance.
Okay, so Space Blues, a logical morning line favorite as far as Bob's concerned in the Breeders' Cup Mile, and then we'll look at the Breeders' Cup Turf, another race that's just loaded with horses.
I want to mention one other horse in the Mile.
Go ahead.
Don't leave out the 12 Pearls Galore. He's trained in Ireland by a trainer that not that many people would have heard of, a guy named Paddy Toomey, ridden by a really excellent rider named Billy Lee. The horse ran second to Space Blues in her last try. I think she's really interesting at a big number, the 12 horse, the Irish trained filly. She's a four-year-old by Invincible Spirit called Pearls Galore.
Okay, so a bit of a price, but has a chance, Pearls Galore, in the Breeders' Cup Mile. To close it out, Bob, we'll look at the Breeders' Cup Turf, and you've got the defending champ in the Mare Tarnawa. She won last year at Keeneland. She's 9-5 on the morning line for Dermot Weld and Colin Keane, but several other European-based runners that look good as well.
Yeah, similar fashion to Glass Slippers. I'm not sure if Tarnawa is going to like this turf course as much as she did Keeneland. She's an incredibly honest, high-class filly, so I expect her to run her race. But what is she in the morning line? She's pretty short.
9-5.
Yeah, that's way too short for me. I take a massive stand against Walton Street, who also won at Woodbine very easily and put up a huge figure in doing so. I don't think that Walton Street... I'm not afraid of Walton Street. Aidan O'Brien has Broom in here. He's not hopeless. He set the pace in the arc. I'm not a huge fan. There's two long shots in here that I love. I think Jude and I both agree that Sis Vahan, the German colt, has an outstanding chance. If you rewatch his second behind Torquator Tasso in Germany last time, he's a very nice horse. He's very lightly raced. It's Christian Jamuro and Hank Rue. Fantastic connections. And when the Germans send horses, they usually mean business. I just think he's a really cool horse. And I think really the horse that might be overlooked that's going to be a huge price is Yabir for Godolphin. He's a horse that's peaking right now. He's been steadily improving throughout the season. His figure looks low. He ran a 94 last time, but believe me, he's a rapidly improving three-year-old gelding. He's going to love it here. And William Buick, who's Godolphin's number one rider, that's where he ends up.
Bob, really appreciate you taking the time this morning to help us out with a lot of the European invaders.
But I have several more things to say.
Let's go, buddy.
I'm just kidding. I tried to get it all in. There's a lot
appreciate it, and we need all the help we can get. There are so many European invaders here this morning that we really appreciate it. Thanks so much for joining us, and best of luck this weekend.
Yeah, same to you guys.
Yeah. Let's get the long shots home.
Yeah, only needs one or two.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
We'll make it happen, Jude.
Bob Nastanovich, our international racing aficionado, joining us this morning. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Richard Baltus, who sends out Ginobili and going to Vegas in the Breeders' Cup this year. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
The Adina Springs Stallion roster is loaded with classic bloodlines and classic performance.
Oh, the classy point of entry would not be denied.
Dynaformer Zaire Point of Entry, a global sire with black type horses in five countries, and the number one sire of grade one performers in his crop. Multiple grade one winner Shaman Ghost, the best son of Ghost Zapper, whose two-year-olds race this year.
And it's going to be
Silent Name, the only son of Sunday Silence at Stud in North America, and Canada's champion sire 3 years in a row.
Silent Poet in front of the Neoptic, and this one's for you, Martha. Silent Poet's won it.
And the newest addition to the Adina Springs roster, American Guru, from a proven winning family, steeped in tradition, with a strong Mr. Prospector influence on both sides.
But American Guru continues to keep on giving. And American Guru has dominated.
Classic bloodlines, classic performance. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Denali Stud is a perennial leading consigner with three decades of raising and selling Saturday afternoon horses.
Qualified, search results, undefeated fillies, 1-2 down to the wire. Who's going to win it? It's Malathat by a neck.
Idol perfectly timed. Idol gets up under Joel Rosario to win the big cap.
Denali sold Kentucky Oaks winner and leading distaff contender Malathat and fold raised and sold Breeders' Cup Classic contender Idol. Denali Stud, where attention to detail is standard.
Where did Essential Quality, Latruska, She Dares the Devil, CZ Rocket, Silver State, and several others begin their journey to the Breeders' Cup? Oaklawn, of course. Put your horse on the path to success at the richest winter race meet in the country, now starting even earlier on Friday, December 3rd. Make plans to be part of an exciting 66 days of racing through Sunday, May 8th, and be sure to go to oaklawn.com to book your hotel rooms. Oaklawn, Arkansas's only racing casino resort.
Hey, this is Bobby Newman. Join me every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern for Race Day, presented by Twin Spires. We'll be discussing all of the important happenings in the world of horse racing, as well as covering great live racing from tracks like Belmont, Aqueduct, Gulfstream, Oaklawn, Churchill, Santa Anita, and Del Mar. That's Race Day, presented by Twin Spires, every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 219, XM 201, and online at Horse Racing Radio.net.
This is Jockey Orlando Bocachica, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms.
Golden Sense, can he dig deep and find another wind? He's in front a length and a half, but Tapperture's catching him stride for stride. Past the eight ball they come, Golden Sense, all heart, he's hanging on to this lead. Tapperture's gaining inches on the outside. Golden Sense shifting ground now. Tapperture just can't get him. Golden Sense, the more they asked, the more he gave. He drifted in the lane, but he won it. Golden Sense takes the dirt mile. Tapperture was second. Behind that, Pants on Fire, and then came Bronzo.
Trevor Demmon on the call of the 2014 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, won impressively by the brilliant Golden Sense, getting the job done. Welcome back to the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farm. Bobby Newman alongside Jude Feld in the grandstand overlooking the racetrack at the beautiful Del Mar Thoroughbred Club. Jude, if we could have these exact seats for every Breeders' Cup that was ever run, we'd be very happy.
Absolutely. I'll just put them on my debit card.
I don't know if your debit card has enough money.
I'm sure it doesn't.
To get these seats.
These are like million-dollar seats.
These are fantastic seats. And, we're getting to see all of the equine stars going by us in the morning. We saw a lot of the European runners trained by Charlie Appleby and Brian Meehan go earlier. The Aidan O'Brien contingent is in their procession around the racetrack right now. They're going in a pack of seven, and it's amazing watching these Aidan O'Brien runners because all of the exercise riders are clad exactly the same. You know, they're wearing black, dark colors with a kind of a maroon hat that's very easy to spot. They kind of jog around the racetrack in tighter quarters, which I guess helps them get used to the tight quarters that they're used to racing in over in Europe. And the ones that are out on the track right now for O'Brien, Bolshoi Ballet, Mogul, Broom, Japan, Mother Earth, Gianthon, and Love, who Bob mentioned in the previous segment, is one that he really, really likes. It's really fun seeing these horses that we never get to see out in front of us, you know, and really it seems like just an arm's length away.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing to watch. It's pretty cool, and, you know, they're doing everything like they do at home.
Well, when we came out of break, we heard the replay of Golden Sense winning the 2014 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. And a gentleman who's hoping to win the 2021 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile is joining us right now, trainer Richard Baltus, who sends out both Ginobili in the Dirt Mile and Going to Vegas in the Philly and Mare Turf. Richard, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
It's exciting times. I know that you train here in Southern California regularly, so you still have to deal with the quote-unquote regular happenings, opening day yesterday, racing today as well. Must be a little bit exciting, though, knowing that you've got these gigantic races on the line and you've got chances in both of these races.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about. I think you're fortunate enough for your horse to get here. We're fortunate enough to get a couple winning your ends, so that's even better. And yeah, the horses are doing well, but obviously, like, it's just the Breeders' Cup, so it's World Championships, and it truly is World Championship racing. You know, I think we just saw those Aidan O'Brien horses go by, and it's just, you know, just if you really look at the whole thing, it's just amazing, isn't it, that they can, everybody comes here for one couple days and come all over the world, and top trainers in the world, top horses in the world. It's awesome.
Yeah,
it really is. And the weather is perfect for horses from everywhere. They seem like they'd love it. You know, that it's cooler here at Del Mar. It's not like in the summer where it can be on the humid side and get warmer from times. It's in the high 50s, low 60s in the mornings. It's only supposed to be in the mid 60s during the races, both tomorrow and Saturday. So everyone looks like they're making a good appearance. And horse that's made a tremendous appearance there at Del Mar the last few times he's run here is Ginobili. I don't know what you guys have figured out with Ginobili, but his last two races here at Del Mar, one in an allowance race and one in the Grade 2 Pat O'Brien, were phenomenal and certainly make him a major player in the Dirt Mile on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why. It kind of actually surprised me when he won here when he ran that big race, but that being said, this is a horse that we always thought a lot of when I bought him as a yearling. And then he was training really, really good going into his first race. And I think he just ran a dud at Los Alamitos. And I was like, oh, wow, what was that? And then I came back here at Del Mar, and he won his second start with Florent Giroux on the lead, wire to wire, in impressive fashion. And then he had some stakes company races. He ran against Nadal, and he just started getting some, like, little physical issues, and I yelled at him, and we decided to stop on him. And a very minor surgery on his ankles, you know, just minor stuff. And then we gave him 4 months off. And when he came back, he was just a much fresher, sounder, happier horse. And, you know, we put the blinkers on him.
So lots of little changes.
Yeah, a lot of little stuff. And stretched him out. And, you know, he ran two very big races in a row. And, you know, I decided just to run him here. I mean, he's trained most of his training has been at San Luis Rey Downs, and he's ran very well off that track. He's 3-for-3 at Del Mar, so now he's running against the big boys.
That's got to make you feel confident, 3-for-3 at Del Mar, right?
He loves the track. I mean, right. I think that means a little something. He's running against better horses, but it was the way he won his last two races. He's trained incredible. Actually trying to slow him down a lot the last couple of works, so leave something in the tank. But
how do you see the race setting up for you?
I think we drew the 3-hole, so we'll probably just end up going with him. That's like, we're not going to take anything away from the horse. There's some speed on the outside, Baffert's horse. We'll see. You know, he's kind of said to me the other day that he's going, but who knows? I mean, life is good, to be 3-to-5. There's a lot of speed in there.
And some really talented horses, but Ginobili's last two races are phenomenal, and certainly point him out as, if he can get the right trip and run one of those races again, he looks basically like he's one of the ones in that spot, and he looks great. He's looked great his last two starts at Del Mar. You've got a really nice filly in Going to Vegas, going in the very next race, the Breeders' Cup filly in Mare Turf. She's coming off 3 consecutive wins, including one in the Grade 1 Rodeo Drive, one in the Grade 2 John Maybe here at Del Mar. She likes it here at Del Mar as well. Obviously a little tougher competition on Saturday than what she's seen in those local graded stakes.
For sure, yeah. I mean, that's what we're talking about. We were talking about the World Championships, and there are some really super talented horses coming over from Europe, and it's just amazing. I think there's a couple Japanese and horses in there as well that are amazing. And the thing that we have going for us is she has a lot of tactical speed, and she doesn't have to have the lead, but if somebody lets us have it, and maybe we can slow the pace down and have something for the finish. She's training great.
She's looked fantastic. Another horse. The horse. Mornings.
I took her to the gate today. I don't know if you guys saw her. She went to the gate, stood, and then she galloped back around. And she's training well. Yeah. Bree's really good on the grass here the other day. So, obviously it's, we're happy to be here. She won the Rodeo Drive, winning your end, Grade 1. I mean, right now we're on cloud 9 with her. So it's just
nice to have that Grade 1 in your pocket with a filly, huh?
Yeah. She's worth a lot of money now, and she's very, very sound, and she's very happy. And we'll see what happens.
She's run well at this distance. She ran second in the red carpet here at 1 3/8 last year. In fact, she made the lead and just got beat a half a length that day. But she looks like she's a better filly now, maybe, than she was then. Is this something where you'll sit with jockey Umberto Rispoli and game plan, or does he pretty much know what to do with this filly?
I'll maybe say a couple words to him, but I don't know if he's going to listen. He might not listen. he's a very competitive guy, and he's pretty smart. I mean, he knows what he's doing, but like when she ran last time, he says, "I'm going to the lead." I'm like, "You don't have to go to the lead," but anyway, you don't have to do anything. It worked. I think he's very, very good rider. He knows the filly really well. So we drew inside. All she has to do is break clean, and she'll be, she'll be saving ground, right? She'll be saving ground.
It's a short run to the turn, too, 1 3/8 on the turf. So the inside is really
a
huge
spot.
Advantage compared to being in the 12 hole, let's say.
Yeah, unless somebody wants to go. I mean, but, I don't know. I mean, it's exciting. I think we have a chance. Obviously we have to run against these beasts from Europe, but and their record's pretty good when they run in these races. I know, like, the last time, I think, was the last Del Mar's Breeders' Cup, the Euros, I think they swept everything on the turf, but, we're going to try.
Yeah. Well, you got a good shot. I love the way she's been training. She's looked great in the morning.
Yeah. She's in top form right now, and we're real happy with her.
Oh, Richard, really appreciate you taking the time to join us here on the Breeders' Cup Countdown presented by Hillendale Farms. Richard Baltus sends out Ginobili in the Dirt Mile Saturday, going to Vegas in the Philly and Mare Turf. Two runners that have chances, and that's all you can ask.
Yeah, it would be nice.
Thanks so much. Really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Richard Baltus trains around the year-round here in Southern California, but, of course, part of the big days this coming Friday and Saturday, especially Saturday, with the Dirt Mile in Ginobili and the Philly and Mare Turf with going to Vegas. Jude, I know several people who really like Ginobili in the Dirt Mile and just love the way he's looked, especially his last two races here at Del Mar and with those blinkers on. I mean, those two racers are phenomenal.
Yeah, he's been doing really good, and the Philly's been doing really good. So Richard has a couple nice shots. Absolutely.
He does. Well, we're going to hopefully go from one locally based trainer named Richard to another locally based trainer named Richard. Dick Mandela, Hall of Famer, set to join us live. We're going to take a break. You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown presented by Hillendale Farms on HRRN.
A five-time graded stakes winning earner of almost $3 million, Airdrie Studs Collected is the all-time leading earner by City Zip. Winner of the Grade 1 Pacific Classic over Arrogate, Collected also romped by 14 lengths in the Grade 3 Precisionist Stakes, defeating Accelerate. Collected bred full books of quality mares in his first two seasons, and his first crop yearlings will be unveiled at public auction later this summer. Collected stands at Airdrie Stud for 17,500 stands and nurses. Think about it.
Champions are returning to Gulfstream for the championship meet starting December 3rd until April 3rd. Witness the best thoroughbred racing Wednesday through Sunday with weekly stakes races. Returning for its sixth year this January is the 2022 Pegasus World Cup with world-class racing, delectable cuisine, stunning celebrities, and iconic fashion. New for 2022 is the third graded stakes race, the Pegasus Turf for fillies and mares with a $500,000 purse. Tickets go on sale November 8th. Visit PegasusWorldCup.com to learn more and get tickets.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Nick Sallusto is your source for proven Grade 1 success at every level. Nick's full-service equine management company includes Thorough Stock Training Center in Morriston, Florida, launching the career of Grade 1 winner Bella Sophia, and Sallusto and Albina Bloodstock, specializing in sales representation, breeding, and private purchases, including Kentucky Derby winner Big Brown, Champion Caledonia Road, Grade 1 winners Mind Control, Arklow, Beach Patrol, and Violence, along with undefeated Greatest Stakes winner Cantharos. For more information, visit ThoroughStock.com. That's ThoroStock.com.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Lane's End and Keeneland. This week, I look back at the racing career of Black Tie Affair. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 219 or XM 201, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Lane's End and Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
Hi, this is Larry Colmus, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms.
The field turns for home, and Half Bridle comes off the turn in front. Victory USA, Jerry Bailey working on her. Half Bridle in front by neck. Victory USA fights on. A shadow right there of Bailey on the outside third. Down to the final 100 yards. Half Bridle in front, and Half Bridle is pulling away. Victory USA, a shadow giving doodle chase under the line. It's Half Bridle, a Philly champion, winning by 3 lengths.
Tom Durkin on the call of the 2003 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, won impressively by the Dick Mandela trainee Half Bridled, one of four Breeders' Cup victories that year for trainer Dick Mandela. Mandela Hall of Famer, inducted back in 2001, and pleased to be joined by the Hall of Famer now on the Breeders' Cup Countdown presented by Hillendale Farm. Dick, thanks for taking the time.
My pleasure.
Well, as usual, when it comes to Breeders' Cup time, you're a busy guy. You're busy all the time, especially keeping a stable year-round here in Southern California. But Breeders' Cup time, certainly a busy time for you. You have four horses entered this year in the Breeders' Cup races. Two of them are on the also-eligibles list, Sumter tomorrow, Bombard on Saturday, and then two of them in the main bodies of the field, Dog Tag and the Filly and Mare Turf, United on the turf. First of all, what are the realistic chances of the also-eligibles drawing?
Well, let me interrupt you. We got some news hot off the press. Bombard's got a sore foot, and United's got a little swelling over a suspensory. The last couple days didn't seem like much, but I let him open gallop today, and there's something there. He's not going to run.
Okay, so bad
scan
news.
Clean, but there's something going on. I'm not going to take a chance.
It's not
so
something.
So Bombard
that is,
and United are out.
Are these career threatening or just something that
don't
needs
think
a little
so,
time?
No.
Okay, so no. Really bad timing, bad news. Bombard will not go in the turf sprint. He's on the also eligibles list. United, who seems to dance every dance in these big turf races, especially the ones here in Southern California, but in the Breeders' Cups as well, he will be scratched from the Breeders' Cup turf on Saturday. So you heard it here first right from his trainer, Dick Mandela. So it seems like, unless Sumter draws in tomorrow, you're going to have one runner on Saturday on the 2 days of the Breeders' Cup, and that is Dog Tag in the Filly and Mare turf. So, you know, Dog Tag is going to carry the American colors against a whole lot of Euros in that Filly and Mare turf. But Dog Tag has been very, very good in her races. Even the races she doesn't win, she's usually right there. But this has not been her favorite turf course thus far. Most of her wins have come, you know, up at Santa Anita, places like that. Have you noticed any difference with her down here, or is it just the way things have shook out?
Probably just the way things go. We just call those warm-up pitches.
She is ridden by top jock Flavian Pratt, who the lone time he rode her was back in the possibly perfect back in the early part of 2020, and they got the win that day. Since then, she's been ridden by Umberto Rispoli, Joe Bravo last time out in the Rodeo Drive, and really not far behind Going to Vegas, Richard Baltus trainee in both of those races. Big price on the morning line. Most of her races have been at shorter distances than a mile and three-eighths. How do you envision her handling the extra ground?
A lot of her races, she's coming late and not getting there, so we're hoping that it helps.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's...
My train is not working, so I got to change something up.
Your train is usually pretty good, I got to say.
Speaking of your training.
This is not a revelation.
No,
Hall of Fame trainer.
Your Breeders' Cup successes. I know when it comes to this time of year, you're reminded of that fantastic day in 2003 a lot. You know, what's going through your mind that day? Having that many runners in the same day and just, you know, continually finding yourself in the winner's circle getting pictures taken.
It was, you know, it all happened so fast and so big. I was kind of in shock all day.
You could tell by the look on his face, because we've been friends a long time. We were stabled here next to one another for many years, and you were just like you had a glow on, but like, you know, you didn't even really, it didn't hadn't sunk in yet. I don't know when it did. Maybe the week after. I don't know. You're not a person that really gloats when you win, and you don't get too excited when things happen. You told me one time that, you know, every morning when you go to the barn, there's going to be some bad news.
And you can look forward to it.
I've learned so much from him, just being stabled next to him and talking to him. I was really upset that they took the wood chips out of the paddock, because we used to use it as a little galloping. But you taught me how to do that. I won three races because he said, you know, that filly, she doesn't like to train. Why don't you jog her in the paddock? And I did, and I won three races in a row. And the guy owed me a bunch of money, and I got out on the whole deal, and it was because of Richard. So
didn't offer me a tip.
You guys didn't talk to Joe Harper and get him to put the wood chips on the main track when you guys had horses entered?
No, that was a really sneaky little play. It was really good. I mean,
but at the end of that day, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
But at the end of that day, I was just in a fall. I was just in a keep working. And then I ran Redditori, and I thought he was the most likely to win, and he ran third. And I Like horse trainers, I got down because he ran third. And then I was walking back through the paddock, and I remember I had a win ticket on Pleasantly Perfect. My son told me during the summer he was 50-1 or 35-1. I had him bet for me, and I had it stuck in my shoe for good luck. And on the way back, I remembered I got the ticket out, and I went up and did the TVG, and we talked about it.
That's great.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Big price, Pleasantly Perfect.
So we made a big gamble.
There you go. Yeah, well, you're noted for your being a gambling trainer.
Yeah, I think I had $20. You paid big.
How about that stretch run in the Breeders' Cup Turf that year with Joe Haar and the dead heat there? Did you think you got that you won the race?
Oh, easy.
Speaking with Dick Mandela, Hall of Famer, he's been he opened a public stable back in 1976. He's been here in Southern California training ever since then, and talking about his four-win day in the Breeders' Cup in 2003. Another big feat is you trained Beholder, who won three Breeders' Cup races. She was fantastic in the Juvenile Fillies and, of course, fantastic in the Distaff a couple times as well. Loved it here at Del Mar, beating the boys in the Pacific Classic one year. Got to see her at Spendthrift Farm just a few weeks ago, and she looked happy out in the pen. What are your memories of Beholder?
Just so many great ones because every race was exciting. She got beat a few times. She had some quirks about her, and sometimes they got in the way of things. But she was just a great filly. The year she ran second in the Classic and the race before it, the last year, she was in heat a lot. She turned 6 years old, and she started thinking about being a mother.
Mm-hmm.
But when we moved up to Santa Anita, she stopped it. And I said 2 weeks before the Breeders' Cup, I said, she's back. And nobody ever ran a better race than her
Songbird.
Songbird. What a race that was.
People still talk about that race, about who won. We know who won.
I know who won.
that one, when there was no dead heat for the win.
No.
Beholder getting the job done. Gary Stevens aboard that day on the outside of Beholder. Great stretch run, and Beholder getting the job done. Well, Dick, we don't like the news that you gave us when you first came on, and we appreciate you taking the time on this. You know, what was certainly... doesn't seem like the best of news mornings for you, but still good things on the horizon. Hope to see both United and Bombard, you know, in the future. And we know when they get back to the track, they'll be ready to go. And is it just one of these things where, I mean, you said you come to the barn every morning and you know you're going to get some sort of bad news. Is it just that's just a numbers game? You know, you're trained. You know, there's just bound to be some little mishap here or there, no matter what.
That's just the life we live. You train racehorses, you better be ready for anything to happen and try to do the right thing.
What kind of good news can you get when you come to the barn in the morning?
Hoping everybody showed up.
Yeah, you don't have to walk in yourself, right?
Well, really appreciate you taking
the
time.
No, it's always a pleasure to walk in the barn. And, you know, I've been lucky to have old horses around that are like pets. And you walk down the shed toward the office and you greet them and they're greeting me and the help. I've got a groom that's been with me since the day I started in 74. You know, so...
He's 74 now.
Yeah. So it's, you know, there's good and bad of everything, and that's what we live with.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time this morning, and thanks for updating us on some of your stable stars and what's going on with them. Wish you the best of luck with Dog Tag and the Philly and Mare Turf, and best of luck year-round here in Southern California.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. Hall of Fame trainer Dick Mandela joining us this morning on the Breeders' Cup Countdown presented by Hillendale Farms. He will send out Dog Tag in the Philly and Mare Turf Saturday here at Del Mar. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Ned Toffee, the general manager of Spendthrift Farm. Their stallions represented by several runners, both tomorrow and Saturday here in the Breeders' Cup. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
This proven son of AP Indy has sired over 50 stakes winners and well over 100 stakes horses. Recent top performers include Search Results, winner of the Grade 1 Acorn Stakes and a hard-fought second in the Kentucky Oaks. Pass the Champagne, runner-up in the Grade 1 Ashland Stakes, plus these standout performers. In the auction ring, his progeny continued to command top dollar. Two-year-olds by Flatter sold up to $625,000. Flatter, standing at Claiborne Farm.
In 1993, Dr. John West showed that EIPH occurs during exercise when blood vessels in the lungs rupture. This is due to stress caused by high blood pressure on the inside of the vessels and strong suction forces on the outside. Only flare strips and Lasix, used together or alone, have been clinically proven to reduce EIPH. Lasix works by reducing the high internal pressures, and flare strips work by reducing the suction forces on the outside. See the science at flarestrips.com.
From a world-class team of equine industry leaders with international breadth that honors history, tradition, and the sport comes business advisory expertise. Providing strategic tax compliance and operational services with innovation and determined persistence, located in the heart of horse country, Dean Dorton is revered for visionary guidance in equine accounting, tax, and business consulting. Dean Dorton, tax, technology, outsourced accounting. Visit DeanDorton.com for all your equine operation needs.
And it will be Mattioli.
The level of racing that he's achieved is extremely rare. The quality fields that he's beat, that's what makes him the fastest horse in the world.
The final time was a new stakes record. Mattioli, he did it again! Mattioli's a monster! Mattioli wins the sprint! Oh, what a horse he is! A mighty Mattioli!
Look for Champion Mattioli's first weanlings selling this November.
Get expert handicapping advice with the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts, every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on HRRN. Bobby Newman will take an in-depth look at the weekend's biggest races to help you solve your handicapping puzzle. Whether you're a casual fan or a hardcore bettor, the Weekend Stakes Preview has you covered. Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 219 XM 201 or streaming at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms.
Improbable moves up to third. Maximum Security is fourth and still five lengths from the lead and has lost ground around the far turn. Tis the Law is next, still six from the front, then Tacitus and Tom's D'Etat. Here comes Improbable to the outside, trying to chase down Authentic as they move into the stretch. Global Campaign is third. Maximum Security is in fourth. Tacitus, then Tis the Law. Authentic hanging top in the final furlong and leads it by 2.5 lengths. Improbable, then Global Campaign, Tacitus, Tis the Law, all behind Authentic, who strides away in the Keeneland sunset for John Velasquez. Authentic has won the Longines Breeders' Cup Classic.
Our own Kurt Becker on the call of last year's Breeders' Cup Classic, won by the brilliant Authentic. He won the Kentucky Derby. He won the Haskell, he won the Breeders' Cup Classic, and he is standing stud right now at beautiful Spendthrift Farm. Welcome back to the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale, Bobby Newman and Jude Feld, live here at the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club, and pleased to be joined now by the general manager out at Spendthrift, Ned Toffee. Ned, thanks for taking the time.
Well, thank you for having me.
Authentic, only $70,000, yeah. His first season, and his first season was this year. Correct.
Just finished up his first breeding season at stud.
And so far, you know, what are the reports as far as the weanlings?
Well, no foals yet. Okay. So this in 2022, we will foals will start hitting the ground. So as early as January, we'll start seeing his foals. And so all you could really ask for a horse in his first year at this time, we can only evaluate how well did he do in the breeding shed. Is he fertile? Did he handle breeding his book of mares? And he did all that stuff beautifully. So far, very much a pro and very much a chip off the old block, like father, like son.
I bet you got some great mares, too. Huh?
He got a wonderful book of mares. you know, there was a lot of – Into Mischief has gone to a new stratosphere in terms of stud fee. at $250,000to $25,000 last year. So you had a lot of breeders that decided they'd rather do that than do that. They'd go to a son, and so Authentic inherited a really good Book of Mares. So both stallions had just an absolutely fantastic Book of Mares last year, and Authentic sort of benefited from that increase into Mischief. So really did well.
Is this something where you need to wait till the first foals hit the ground before you can decide stud fees for later on, or does he automatically stay at the same price the first year and the second?
You know, we like to start selling seasons as early as we can in the year. That was one of the things that Mr. Hughes always insisted on. So we have to set our fees fairly early. So by now, most of the farms have announced their stud fees for 2022. And so we're doing a lot of selling. So, but obviously, you know, what these foals look like as newborns, how they're received in the next fall as weanlings, those things will all dictate what the stud fee will be in the future. But this year, in year two, we went with a slight discount. He was actually $75,000 in year one, and then year two, his stud fee will be $70,000, which is sort of what become the reality of the market. You generally have to discount a horse just a little bit in year two to satisfy breeders.
Great list of stallions at Spendthrift, and of course, Into Mischief is the top of the heap. As you said, $250,000 his stud fee going to next year. You've got Omaha Beach Matoli, who I got to see out there on the farm. What a brilliant racehorse he was. Golden Sense, we heard his stretch call of 2014 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile a few minutes ago. Vicomo, Vino Rosso, Cross Traffic. The list goes on and on. Spendthrift Stallions represented by three runners Friday in the Breeders' Cup, five runners on Saturday, including Gamine in the Filly and Mare Sprint, Life is Good in the Dirt Mile, Private Mission in the Distaff. So a lot of big chances as far as the Stallions go. How important are these 2 days as far as stallion prices are for you guys?
You know, in Into Mischief's case, he's already essentially booked up. We've got a few spots left, but he's essentially booked up at $250,000. So the Breeders' Cup is a huge day. In Into Mischief's case, we're pretty solid, and he has such a substantial body of work that I think people sort of realize by this point in his career he is what he is. But no question, Breeders' Cup goes a long way into determining what you can do in the future. It's always what have you done for me lately?
Right. That's racing in a nutshell.
You can't rest on your laurels, and whether it's a farm or a horse or a trainer, you gotta keep moving on and keep producing.
You guys are also involved with Following Sea and Got Stormy, part mm-hmm. owners of Got Stormy,
yep.
owner and breeder of Following Sea in the Breeders' Cup Sprint.
Yeah.
Couple things. First, how do you decide the ones that you want to keep ownership in? And is there a different sort of route when you're owner breeder as opposed to, you know, simply the stallions being represented?
Yeah, it's interesting. Following Sea was sort of an exception because we offer darn near everything out of our yearling crop each year for sale. And we basically keep horses based on value. If we think that we're not getting the fair market value for them in the auction ring, we'll keep them. If we are, we'll go ahead and sell them. Barossa, who's in the juveniles, a horse that we bred, sold him for $775,000. That was a great sale, and we wish them all the best of luck with him this year. In Following C's case, Mr. Hughes just loved the horse. He was a beautiful yearling, and he said, you know, I think I'd like to keep this one and race him. And that was a name that Wayne loved, and so we got. He'd been waiting to use that on the right horse, and we got lucky and tagged a pretty good horse with the name. So,
yeah, we came here to fish. We didn't come here to catch fish. One of the great Wayne Hughes lines of all time. He took a bunch of his buddies down to Cabo, and they didn't catch a fish the whole time they were there, and the captain was distraught. Yeah. He said to the captain, "Don't worry about it. We came here to fish. We didn't come here to catch fish." That's how he was so brilliant, such an innovator. Yeah. And it was interesting to hear you say that, you know, Mr. Hughes always liked to you know, sell the seasons early, you know, and you guys are following along with that program. You've embraced that as the way Spendthrift does things.
Yeah.
Talk about that a minute.
Well, you know, and the first part of that was we had a big argument with Wayne and telling him it couldn't be done, and then he explained to us that we were going to do it. and lo and behold, it could be done. So, you know, that was the thing with Wayne. He was a great man because he had great ideas. Oftentimes they were very different from our, you know, sort of conventional wisdom. And so it really took really stopping and thinking and trying to keep an open mind. And oftentimes after some thought, you realized, well, he was right all along. And we did that time and time again. I think one of the really great things about Wayne was, you could have those debates. We would have sales meetings and it'd be, you know, Wayne and Eric Gustafson, who now operates the farm, and all of our sales staff and myself. And we would have some really, really hearty debates about things, even heated, you might say. But at the end of it, Wayne would thank you because he loved the exchange of ideas. He loved people making a case and backing it up, and he loved it. Love to challenge it when you did it, but I think those were all things that made us better as an organization, and I think we all have just learned so much working for him over the years. Really, really remarkable experience.
Speaking with Ned Toffee, the general manager out at Spendthrift Farm, had the privilege of getting to see Spendthrift and you taking my wife and myself around on a little bit of a private tour a few weeks ago. It was fantastic. First time my wife had ever been to a stallion farm, and she loved it. She didn't know, you know, she's not into racing like we are. And, you know, you pointing out Mottoli and Into Mischief and, you know, Monomoy Girl was out in the pen being walked around and Beholder. And, you know, I'm in awe. And she seemed, you know, it's a racehorse. But she couldn't get over how beautiful it was and how well they're taken care of and how well they live out there. I see on the website, spendthriftfarm.com, in addition to all the information on the stallions, there is a category called experience. And it's possible for people to come out and get tours of the farm. How does that happen?
It is. So you can go to visithorsecountry.com, or you can go through our website. All the tours are booked through Horse Country, which is an initiative that the industry started a number of years ago. And you can go on their website, and there's a whole list of farms and different types of experience at different farms. Some are stud farms like we are. Others may have mares and foals and yearlings. So you can really choose your experience. You can even tour the vet clinics. You can tour Keeneland. So all of these outfits are offering tours now, which is a great thing because I think we need to – it's a wonderful game and a wonderful industry, and I think we need to do a better job of exposing the public to it and let them see how things get done on these farms and how well these horses get taken care of. So Horse Country has been a great thing. We also are doing some tours through the My Racehorse. So they can book tours through My Racehorse if you're an investor with them. So we've got both tours running pretty regularly, and that's been something we've done more and more. We're actually building a visitor center, and we're naming that after Wayne Hughes, and so just try to enhance that experience even more.
Before we let you go, Ned, one last thing. Thinking about Monomoy Girl and getting to see her, I mean, she was literally arm's length away, and it's amazing because, you know, I've only just seen her on TV watching races from around the country. Got to see her there. You guys made a big splash with the purchase of Monomoy Girl, speaking of the My Racehorse people, and she's been retired. How's she done since arriving at Spendthrift, and what are we looking for next year?
Well, so she's done very well. She's settling in. She had, you know, minor injuries, so we've had to keep her restricted for a little bit. She's not on full turnout just yet. So she's feeling pretty good. She's pretty eager to get out and move around. She's 100% sound, but we just want to be very, very cautious with her. So we'll begin the process soon of getting her ready to be bred, and she'll go to Into Mischief this year. And so we'll look forward in 2023 to an Into Mischief foal out of Monomoy Girl if all goes well.
So do you just transfer the $250,000 from one account to another account for the stud feed?
You breed the best of the best and hope for the best.
Did
you have to bump somebody from Into Mischief to fit Monomoy Girl in?
Well, I will tell you, if you're ever going to bump a horse, Monomoy Girl is one you would bump them for. Yeah. So
there's got to be somebody in the list below her, right?
Ned, really appreciate you taking the time to join us this morning. It's beautiful there out at Spendthrift Farm. You're going to be a busy man, rooting wise. Of course, the Stallions represented by 3 runners tomorrow, 5 runners on Saturday. You guys are the owner and breeder of Following C Saturday in the Breeders' Cup Sprint, part owner of Got Stormy. In the Breeders' Cup Mile, it's going to be a fun and exciting 2 days for you.
Well, we're looking forward to it. It looks like a great event, so we're fingers crossed.
Thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Thanks again.
All right, Ned Toffee, the general manager out at Spendthrift Farm, kind enough to join us this morning, and they are well represented in this year's Breeders' Cup, both tomorrow and Saturday. Always a pleasure to be joined by Ned. He and his staff do a great job out there at Spendthrift Farm. And Judith, it really is a beautiful facility.
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, you should see the new visitor center. We didn't get to talk about that, but they're in the process of building it. Spendthrift has a great party every year, and I go to it every year.
Every party you're invited to, it gets labeled a great party.
Oh, I'll tell you.
If you're not invited, it's not supposed to be that good.
Yeah, well, I only get invited to the best ones, but they do a great job, and it is a beautiful place. It's very historic and a lovely place to visit. So put that on your list of farms to go to if you're coming to Kentucky.
Really, really good, and glad to catch up with Ned, as always, here on the Breeders' Cup Countdown presented by Hillandale. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to take a closer look at that Breeders' Cup filly and mare turf, and a locally based runner, a U.S.-based runner, Warlike Goddess, who just keeps winning and winning and winning for trainer Bill Mott and owner George Krikorian. George Krikorian going to join us here when we come back from break. You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown presented by Hillandale Farms on HRRN.
There's a corner of Kentucky in Bourbon County, which some refer to as the Promised Land. There's something in the soil and water that make it something special. So special that some of the world's greatest horsemen have staked their claim in the soil just outside of Paris. Iconic names such as Claiborne, Coolmore, Stone, and Darley grace the fence lines which have housed champions for generations. The name Alapa shines as a tribute to the Gilded Age, sharing the stature and grandeur of its neighbors. Born from the wealth, passion, and imagination of Edward Sims, no expense was spared to fulfill his vision. Sims was in the same league as John Madden and Arthur B. Hancock Sr. as a commercial breeder. The torch has been passed. Welcome to Hillandale. At Alapa.
Coming this November, it's the America's Best Racing Fan Choice Awards. Covering the best of the sport and lifestyle, all decided by the fans. Here's your chance to vote. The America's Best Racing Fan Choice Awards.
Denali Stud is a perennial leading consigner with 3 decades of raising and selling Saturday afternoon horses.
Malathon, search results, undefeated fillies, 1-2 down to the wire. Who's going to win it? It's Malathon by a neck.
Idol perfectly timed. Idol gets up under Joel Rosario to win the big gap.
Denali sold Kentucky Oaks winner and leading distaff contender Malathon and fold raised and sold Breeders' Cup Classic contender Idol. Denali Stud, where attention to detail is standard.
Champions are returning to Gulfstream for the championship meet starting December 3rd until April 3rd. Witness the best thoroughbred racing Wednesday through Sunday with weekly stakes races. Returning for its 6th year this January is the 2022 Pegasus World Cup with world-class racing, delectable cuisine, stunning celebrities, and iconic fashion. New for 2022 is the 3rd graded stakes race, the Pegasus Turf for fillies and mares with a $500,000 purse. Tickets go on sale November 8th. Visit PegasusWorldCup.com to learn more and get tickets.
Thursday evenings, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, is the Briznet.com call-in show. It's your chance to call in and let the Horse Racing Radio Nation know what's on your mind. Call us at 888-966-HRRN and discuss the topics you choose in the world of thoroughbred racing. The Briznet.com call-in show, every Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, on Sirius 219 and XM 201, or streaming live online at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms.
And the field hits the top of the stretch. Coretta kicks in, driving on the lead. Silverado put out second. Soaring softly, flying down the side of the track. And Cafe Lotte down toward the rail. She'll need some running room, and they're opening there. Here's Coretta. Here's Soaring Softly. And Soaring Softly is the winner. Soaring Softly, the queen of the American green. A four-way photo for second among Coretta. Late running Borgia was also right there. Cafe Lotte also in that photo for second. The final time here, Soaring Softly, filly and mare, turf champion, 2:13.4.
Tom Durkin on the call of the 1999 Breeders' Cup filly and mare turf, won by the brilliant mare Soaring Softly. Welcome back to the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms, live from the beautiful Del Mar Thoroughbred Club, where the fog is lifting a little bit. Temperatures are rising just a bit, going from the high 60s maybe to the low 60s. Bobby Newman and Jude Feld sitting in the grandstand, directly facing the racetrack between the 16th pole and the wire, and pleased to be joined now by owner George Krikorian, who's got Warlike Goddess, one of the major players in this year's Breeders' Cup filly and mare turf on Saturday. George, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure to be here this morning. Thank you.
Georgia, you've had 9 runners in previous Breeders' Cup races, but I don't think any of them really with the chances and the good chance that this brilliant filly Warlike Goddess has in the filly and mare turf. She has just done nothing wrong. 6 wins from 7 career starts for you and trainer Bill Mott. Take us along. You know, how did you come to get Warlike Goddess, and what it's been, you know, through her races and getting her to the Breeders' Cup?
Well, Warlike Goddess was introduced to me by Donato Lanny, bloodstock agent. He was at a sale in Florida, and she was in that sale, and he called me and said, I see a horse here that should not be in the sale, but moving forward, she could be a special horse. And so I purchased her for $30,000 on his recommendation, and she's been remarkable.
Tell us a little bit about what it's like. You know, she has such a distinct running style where she basically shows no early speed and then effortlessly catches up to them by the time they get to the quarter pole. And in the stretch, it looks like her strides go twice as long as everyone else's.
She has an amazing stride, and when she turns the jets on, she moves so quickly. It's just amazing to watch her.
She'll be facing tougher competition on Saturday than she's seen thus far in her career, although I guess you could say that some of the Euros have never seen somebody like Warlike Goddess thus far in her races. Is this something that you're concerned about? Obviously you're concerned. Is this something where you think she's going to have to be even better Saturday than she's been, or she just needs to run one of her races to have a big chance?
I think she just runs her race and she has a big chance. She's certainly running against a lot of great horses here. It's going to be a very tough competition, and I'm just hoping that she can prove herself to be a little bit better than the other horses she's running against.
George, in addition to being in the racing game for many, many years, you've been very big as far as the movie theater business for many, many years, and I know Jude was talking about it off the air about the new Lex Live and what a fantastic location it is. Jude, you were just there, weren't you, recently?
Yeah, I saw the new James Bond film there and had a great experience. All the football games were on, and we had a great dinner, and we had a fantastic server. I mean, it's a beautiful building. You know, there's everything. You can go bowling. I mean, it's just fantastic. It's an adult playground, you might say. So it was just really, really nice, and the staff and everything's first class. And so I'm looking forward to going back again and again.
George, you opened Premier Theaters back in 1984 and had movie theaters all over, and I think eventually sold to Regal Cinemas. How does the idea of the Lex Live experience come about, and how long does it take to go from the idea to it actually happening?
Well, it's an evolution, you know, that, you know, we went from in the 1980s, we went from pretty much 30-foot wide screens with single aisles for movie experience, and then from there we went to stadium seating, and that was a better experience yet. And now what we've done here is we've created a multifunctional entertainment facility that you can do everything in. You just don't go to the movies and get up and walk out the door and go home. We've got the bowling, you got the sports bar, we've got incredible food, everything's, you know, scratch kitchen there, and the large screens that are in the sports bar. They're just high resolution digital screens, and they're seamless, and so the presentation is really spectacular compared to what you typically would see.
Is it something where it's gone over so well in Lexington, you were thinking about maybe doing this in other parts of the country?
I've already had started a project over here in Menifee, just east of us here, about 20 miles near Temecula. And we started that project in very early 2020. And by April, when COVID was becoming a serious problem, we shut that job down. And we didn't want to build it out, not knowing when it might be able, you know, if we got finished and we couldn't open, we didn't want to be in that kind of a position. So we stopped construction on the project, and we have not restarted it yet. We're still waiting to see that things get a little bit better in terms of recovery from COVID for everybody, and people feel, you know, more comfortable going to the movies than they had in the past. And also studios have been reluctant to release a lot of the films that are still sitting in the can because they want to make sure that when they're released, they have a full audience to maximize their revenues.
So there's a lot that goes into it. You know, you have to think about all these things, and even if you have a great idea, sometimes you can't pull it off because of other circumstances.
And well, also, you know, it's a situation where who would have thought 2 or 3 years ago that we would be building a project and in the middle of it we'd be hit with COVID, and all of a sudden the movie theaters were shut down for more than 16 months straight that you could not operate, and then when they did start to open back up, you had studios that were wanting to play the movies on their subscription services on a day and date basis with the movies, and that again took another big chunk of revenue out of the exhibitors' pockets, and so it's been a tough road.
Speaking with owner George Krikorian, who sends out the brilliant filly Warlike Goddess in Saturday's Breeders' Cup filly in Mare Turf. She is actually 7-2 on the morning line for the team of Bill Mott, George Krikorian, and Julian Leperoux. 6 wins from 7 career starts going into this race, riding a 4-race win streak, including the last time out in the Grade 1 Flower Bowl out at Saratoga. Not only is she winning the races, she's winning the races more often than not very easily and from well off the pace, drawing away, which is big margins of victory, Jude, in turf races are something you don't see that often, and she's just blitzing fields down the lane.
Yeah, a lot of times trainers run horses on the grass so they don't get beat too far. But that doesn't bother her any. She just blows them away. She's pretty impressive. She's looked good in the mornings, and we always wish you the best of luck. You have the coolest silks, too, with the film around the little film around.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much.
It's really, really cool. I love that. That's so subtle, but it's effective.
We mentioned that you've had 9 horses run in Breeders' Cup races in the past. More Like Goddess will be most likely your best chance to get to the winner's circle. You've been in this game a long time. Is it something where you're still going to be nervous the day of the race?
I run horses in claiming races, and I still get nervous. So, yes, absolutely. And this weekend, I'll be particularly nervous.
You just hope every morning you wake up and there's not a text from Bill Mott or something saying, please call me immediately or something like that.
I would hope that would not happen.
Well, George, we really appreciate you taking the time. And, boy, she is a brilliant filly. Wish you the best of luck on Saturday and going forward. And I don't get to Lexington that often, but from what everyone tells me and Jude capping it off, it sounds like Lex Live is just a spectacular location and, you know, kind of a destination place to go in Lexington. And you know what? Even in foul weather in the wintertime, what better to do than go to Lex Live?
You can go watch hockey. You can probably curling, whatever's on. I mean, and he's right about the TVs. They're beautiful. I mean, I can't tell you. I had the best time. I would rather go there than Disneyland or anywhere
good
else.
Food?
Great food. We had a good dinner. We had nice cocktails. It was really impressive. I really liked it.
George, if you're ever looking for somebody to promote it, obviously Jude is. You don't even have to give him a script.
I'll be the guy with the sandwich sign outside going, come to the theater. No, it's really amazing. It's really cool.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, it's been great building that facility. And it's great to see that people have responded well to it. They like it. So,
well, we're going to be situated right above the paddock both tomorrow and Saturday. So we'll wave at you when you're in the paddock before the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf, and really wish you the best of luck with Warlike Goddess and all your other runners going forward. Thanks for taking the time.
Yes, of course, and thank you. Enjoy the rest of your weekend here.
We're looking forward to George Krikorian, owner of Warlike Goddess, who is 7-2 on the morning line for this year's Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf. She has been brilliant thus far in her career. Jude, 6 wins from 7 career starts, and she's got a huge chance.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. She might take it all.
She might take it all, and if she does it, she's going to be passing some runners. Don't expect her to go to the lead right off the bat. Julian Leperoux knows what to do. The gate opens, take back, get over. Make a run going into the turn and see if he can get on by. We'll see if she's good enough in this year's Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf. George Krikorian, the owner of Warlike Goddess. We're going to take a break when we come back. Talk a little bit about our friends over at Fasic Tipton and their sale coming up next Tuesday. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
The Breeders' Cup runs here.
Wise Dan has called on all his class, and Wise Dan has won it.
Only on HRRN.
The Adina Springs Stallion roster is loaded with classic bloodlines and classic performance.
Oh, the classy point of entry would not be denied.
Dynaformer Zaire, point of entry, a global sire with black type horses in 5 countries, and the number one sire of grade one performers in his crop. Multiple grade one winner Shaman Ghost, the best son of Ghost Zapper, whose 2-year-olds race this year.
And it's going to be won by Shaman Ghost. He has won the Woodward.
Silent Name, the only son of Sunday Silence at Stud in North America, and Canada's champion sire 3 years in a row.
Silent Poet in front of the Neotic, and this one's for you, Martha. Silent Poets won it.
And the newest addition to the Adina Springs roster, American Guru, from a proven winning family, steeped in tradition, with a strong Mr. Prospector influence on both sides.
But American Guru continues to keep on giving. And American Guru has dominated.
Classic bloodlines, classic performance. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Nick Sallusto is your source for proven grade one success at every level. Nick's full-service equine management company includes Thorough Stock Training Center in Morriston, Florida, launching the career of grade one winner Bella Sophia, and Sallusto and Albina Bloodstock, specializing in sales representation, breeding, and private purchases, including Kentucky Derby winner Big Brown, champion Caledonia Road, grade one winners Mind Control, Arclo, Beach Patrol, and Violence, along with undefeated greatest stakes winner Cantharos. For more information, visit ThoroughStock.com. That's THOROSTOCK.com.
Denali Stud is a perennial leading consigner with three decades of raising and selling Saturday afternoon horses.
Malathon, search results, undefeated fillies, 1-2 down to the wire. Who's going to win it? It's Malathon by a neck.
Idle, perfectly timed. Idle gets up under Joel Rosario to win the big cap.
Denali sold Kentucky Oaks winner and leading distaff contender Malathon and fold raised and sold Breeders' Cup Classic contender Idle. Denali Stud, where attention to detail is standard.
HRRN is live online. Go to our website at horseracingradio.net to stream all of our broadcasts live or listen to the show archives anytime. Read our blogs, get the latest news, and see our entire broadcast schedule. It's all there at horseracingradio.net. And follow us on Twitter at HRRN and like our page on Facebook. Search Apple Podcasts for HRRN and download our latest shows. HRRN is home to racing's biggest events, and our home on the web is at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia.
My name is Paco Lopez.
This is Jose Lescano.
This is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms.
And Passiana has taken the lead under a cool and confident Chris McCarron. It's Passiana in front as they turn for home. Fout is all out trying to get to her. Saratoga Glue couldn't keep up. Light is in with a chance. Magical Maiden is there on the outside. Marling is still in heavy traffic, but it is Passiana running away from them. Four lengths clear. Five lengths clear. Spectacular stretch drive. Versailles Treaty is second. Magical Maiden third. No doubt about the best mare in America. It's Passiana. A spectacular drive and an affectionate pet on the neck from Chris McCarron, as if he were to say, well done, Passiana. Well done, indeed.
Hard to believe that that race was 29 years ago. Tom Durkin on the call of the 1992 Breeders' Cup Distaff, won by the brilliant mare Passiana. Hall of Famer Chris McCarron aboard. Welcome back to the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bobby Newman and Jude Feld taking you along live from the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club. Boy, Passiana, a fantastic race mare during her career, and one of my favorites, and loved hearing that call from Tom Durkin. We do have some late-breaking news regarding the Breeders' Cup, and as we've said all along, when you're getting news between the time that they pre-enter horses and the day the gates open, it's nothing but bad. And we've had some bad news again, Jude. We heard from the mouth of trainer Dick Mandela that United suffered a minor setback and will not be competing in this year's Breeders' Cup turf. We've now got word from trainer Chad Brown that domestic spending has been scratched from the Breeders' Cup turf due to inflammation in his left fore. And this would put Bolshoi Ballet, say that five times fast, Bolshoi Ballet into the field from the also eligibles list. So good news if you're a Bolshoi Ballet fan, but overall in the grand scheme of things, bad news when you have big names like United and domestic spending getting these minor injuries, you know, so close to the big day.
Yeah, that's brutal. You know, you just hate to see any horse get hurt any time, but when you have these big races coming up and horses are, you know, coming into the races in their best form, you hate to see them get hurt. So, it's something in racing we have to deal with, and thank God it's not life-threatening injuries or anything major. United had a little suspensory issue, evidently, and Richard didn't feel like he was going to be fit to race, and, you know, Richard is very, very careful, so.
These trainers are all going to do what's best for the horses.
No question.
It's just bad timing. You know, they know that they're going to fight another day, and unfortunately they're going to miss a big stage this Saturday. But both United and domestic spending out of the Breeders' Cup turf. I want to remind everybody that there's a big sale coming up at Fasig Tipton next week. In fact, next Tuesday, November the 9th, the November sale and a lot of the Breeders' Cup entrants will actually be offered up in that November sale, highlighted by She Dares the Devil, the Brad Cox filly, who's going to be a major player in Saturday Saturday's Breeders' Cup Distaff. She is set to go in the sale. Proud Emma, Going to Vegas, Queen Supreme, Caravelle, Kamari, other ones who are set to perform in the Breeders' Cup, and then going to go to the sales ring at Fasig Tipton next Tuesday. You can read all about it on their website. The November sale starts next Tuesday, November the 9th. Folks, don't forget Horse Racing's World Championships are here. You can bet the Breeders' Cup risk-free with TVG. That's right. New TVG players can get started with a risk-free bet up to $300. That means you'll get up to $300 back if your horse doesn't win. The TVG app is so easy to use. Gives you all the tools you need. You get access to free picks, analysis, and wagering advice from industry experts. Breeders' Cup takes place tomorrow and Saturday, so now is the perfect time to give TVG a shot. Just sign up with the promo code HRRN for your first chance to bet risk-free up to $300. That's promo code HRRN to place your first win bet risk-free exclusively on TVG.com/HRRN and the TVG app. Reminder, age, residency, and other eligibility restrictions apply. New users only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires after 30 days. See terms at TVG.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll be joined by the vice president out at Denali Stud, Conrad Banderoff, talk about their program. Malathat went through their program, ended up selling for over $1 million as a yearling, and assures she has a huge chance in this year's renewal of the Breeders' Cup Distaff. You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms on HRRN.
A five-time Graded Stakes winning earner of almost $3 million, Airdrie Studs Collected is the all-time leading earner by City Zip. Winner of the Grade 1 Pacific Classic over Arrowgate, Collected also romped by 14 lengths in the Grade 3 Precisionist Stakes, defeating Accelerate. Collected bred full books of quality mares in his first two seasons, and his first crop yearlings will be unveiled at public auction later this summer. Collected stands at Airdrie Stud for 17,500 stands and nurses. Think about it.
In 1993, Dr. John West showed that EIPH occurs during exercise when the blood vessels in the lung rupture. This is due to stress caused by high blood pressures on the inside of the vessel and strong suction forces on the outside. Only flare strips and Lasix, used together or alone, have ever been clinically proven to reduce EIPH. Lasix works by reducing the high internal vessel pressure, and flare strips work by reducing the suction forces on the outside of the vessel. See the science at flarestrips.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Hey, this is Bobby Newman. Join me every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern for Race Day, presented by Twin Spires. We'll be discussing all of the important happenings in the world of horse racing, as well as covering great live racing from tracks like Belmont, Aqueduct, Gulfstream, Oaklawn, Churchill, Santa Anita, and Del Mar. That's Race Day, presented by Twin Spires, every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 219, XM 201, and online at Horse Racing Radio.net.
Get to know the men and women who make this sport go on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton. Mike Pena sits down with Hall of Famers, up-and-comers, and everyone in between with an intimate conversation that goes beyond the X's and O's. Hear their stories every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 219 XM 201 or streaming live at horseracingradio.net. It's the show that trainers listen to. Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton, only on HRRN.
This is Carlos Martin, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms.
They are coming to the top of the lane, and Riveting Reason desperate to hold on, but Uncle Bo is breathing down his neck.
and Uncle Mo is let loose, and look at him stride away. Uncle Mo, big leaping strides. He's opening up. Boys on Toscanova a second, but this is an overwhelming performance by Uncle Mo, the son of Indian Charlie. John Velasquez just got to point him in the right direction, takes a look back. Uncle Mo, superb in the juvenile. It'll be boys at Toscanova in second. Romance finished up third, and Biondetti ran on fourth.
Trevor Denman on the call of the 2010 Breeders' Cup Juvenile, won so impressively by the brilliant Uncle Mo. Uncle Mo went through the program at Denali Stud. And welcome back to the Breeders' Cup Countdown presented by Hillendale Farms. Bobby Newman and Jude Feld live here in the grandstand at Del Mar. And we're pleased now to be joined by the vice president at Denali Stud, Conrad Banderoff. Boy, hearing that stretch run must bring back good memories, my friend.
Yeah, that was a fun one. Uncle Mo was bred and raised by Mike Cavey and Nancy Temple of Respite Farm, and you know, they, from a boutique operation, have raised some just amazing horses. Uncle Mo, Champagne Room, you know, they really do a fantastic job, and we've been the beneficiary of being able to sell some nice weanlings and some that have gone on to achieve great success, and then selling some mares for him. So, no, Uncle Mo was one. He was kind of good to everyone all along. You know, we sold him as a weanling. I think he got resold as a yearling. They made money. Resold as a 2-year-old in training. They made money. So he's been a good horse for a lot of people.
For our shows, Mike Penna, the president of HRRN, he coined the phrase Uncle Mo and everybody else. He must have said that like 5,000 times in the course of broadcasts. I mean, we were so impressed with him up at Saratoga, and yeah, you know, he's gone on to do great things on the racetrack, and then as a stud, he's like one of the freaks. I mean, he's as good as it gets, right? Everybody's lining up to breed to Uncle Mo.
He's one of the best, and I remember, you know, when the Derby came around, he was going to be the favorite, and he scratched the morning of the Derby, and that was actually the first Derby I was going to. I was a senior in high school, never been to the Derby before, and we had two connections. We had Uncle Mo, and then of course we had Animal Kingdom, who was born and raised on the farm and making his first start on dirt, had been training really well, but you know, we thought our real shot was with Mo, and so he scratched. We pick up Johnny V on Animal Kingdom, and you know, the rest is history.
Yeah.
You mentioned Uncle Mo, you mentioned Animal Kingdom, a yearling grad, Real Quiet, a yearling grad for Denali, Royal Academy, a yearling sales grad, Champagne Room, a weanling grad, Pluck, Fold and Raised by Denali Stud, Sir Winston, a yearling grad, the list goes on. And you've got a real interest in this year's Breeders' Cup, and especially in the distaff with Malathat, who went through the program at Denali Stud. She ended up selling for over $1 million back in 2019 as a yearling. What does it mean when we say these horses went through your program?
Well, you know, Malathat was bred and raised by Stone Street, Barbara Banky and her amazing team. And, you know, we're very fortunate that we get to sell some really nice horses for Stone Street. You know, that we get to be a part of that program. It's something that we take a lot of pride and honor in. They raise as good a horse as anybody. And, you know, for her, Malathat, I remember we went out to the farm and we're looking at our draft of yearlings that we're going to sell for them. And we're with John Moynihan and Robert Turner, the yearling manager, and John Donaldson, an advisor. And we're looking at the horses, and Malathat comes out. And you know, it's very much as a yearling, she is, you know, she's the same now. She captivates you. She has such a presence about her, and she just commands your attention, and she comes out, and we're looking at her, and you know, my dad and I kind of exchange a sideways glance, and we're like, ooh, like, wow, like just goosebumps. And but we've learned that those kind in the Stone Street program don't always show up on the sales ground because Barbara usually decides to keep them, or can decide to keep them. And in this case, Malathat came to the sale, and you know, she was just a gorgeous yearling, so much class, you know, beautiful head on her, really intelligent, kind eye. And, you know, Sheikh Hamdam, you know, rest in peace, came by and saw her. And it's always a good sign. And you know that he likes one when he checks their throat latch. So he checked her throat latch and we're like, all right, let's do this. And, but it's a great point of pride when you sell a horse for seven figures or over a million, and they go on to warrant that price tag. And, you know, she was a horse that every time you looked at, you just started to like her more and more. And she's one of those that you just said, wow, you know, like she could be anything. And you know, she's only lost one race, and she got a little ganged up on in that race, but you know, she's coming into this race in great shape, and I think it actually sets up really well for her. And you know, we're hoping for a big result on Saturday.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna talk about Sheikh Hamdam and how exciting it was when he would come to look at your horses. One time when I first moved to Kentucky, I was working for Narvik International, Emmanuel Desaru, and Sheikh Hamdan's plane was late, and I had never met Sheikh Hamdan. Emmanuel said, would you be willing to stay for Sheikh Hamdan to show him the horse? I said, absolutely. And he was so nice and such a good horseman. I mean, he knew what he was looking at, and he would look at a horse a long time sometimes, and sometimes he would dismiss him right away. And it goes back to the thing you were talking about, presence. Like, yeah. When you look at horses a lot, you kind of get that feeling that this is maybe a special horse or a horse that commands attention. And he had that ability and power, and it was just amazing when he looked at horses. And it was a good feeling when he liked one. You just knew, wow, this must be a really good horse, because he sees them all over the world in all different styles and types. And yeah, that's really cool.
No, absolutely. He was a great judge, and you're so right. He would really look into the horse and you know, see how is their mind, and that was something that he always looked for. You knew if you were showing him a horse and they didn't give the best show, or if they acted up, you were like, well, you know, that one's off the list. But he did have an amazing way. You could just, standing back observing him, you could tell that he was almost trying to look into the soul of the horse. You know?
Yeah.
And it was, he was a very gracious man, and you know, it's a tremendous loss to the global industry, but it's also fantastic to see the family continuing it on. And I just wish that he could have been there on, you know, the first Friday in May and seen her perform in the Kentucky Oaks. We were fortunate enough, we co-bred Travel Column, who ran in the Oaks, when we co-bred her with Bain and Christina Welker. And, you know, we were in the paddock, and Travel Column takes a lap past, and, you know, she's looking good. She's ready to go. And a few horses later, we see Malathat go past, and I just remember saying, whoa, like, no one's beaten her today. Like, if she was just bigger, stronger, more imposing, she just... You know, she carries herself as if she's an older horse, and you know it. It's just, that's why I think she's going to hopefully do really well on Saturday. Is she just has maturity to her?
Yeah, she's very queenly.
She looks like she likes to fight too. She's not afraid of mixing it up.
But she comes out here and stands and looks around, and you know, like, hope everybody's looking at me.
Yeah, you're right. She's just so regal.
Yeah, she really is.
Speaking with Conrad Banderoff, the vice president at Denali Stud, we mentioned that Malathat went through your program, ended up selling for just over $1 million as a yearling. She's already banked over $1.5 million in her spectacular career. Is it something where they're coming to you to maybe get horses through your program, or you're actively recruiting horses for the program?
You know, it's certainly a mix of both. We're always, you know, trying to make connections and develop relationships with people. And, you know, we pride ourselves on not being too big. You know, we certainly are not a small operation, but we know the number of horses that we can handle and do a job, and we hold ourselves to a really high standard of being able to perform and produce the kind of results that we expect of ourselves and our clients expect of us. And so, you know, we're not out there, trying to get as many horses to sell as we can. It's, we're always trying to find that right horse, and especially when it comes to the yearlings. But we're, there's always recruitment involved and trying to find these horses for the November sale and the bloodstock sales. But, we're very fortunate that we get to represent some of the best breeders in the business, the likes of Stone Street, the likes of Windstar and Three Chimneys, Wood, Pin Oak and many others. It would take me a while, fortunately it would take me a while to list them all, but when you get to represent top breeders and top horsemen, it makes our job easy.
And that's mostly in part to your dad, who started out and made those relationships. And a lot of people don't realize, but our business runs on relationships, whether it's relationships with a trainer or a jockey agent or a rider, whoever it is. I mean, you got to have that rapport with people, and your dad started the business a long time ago and built those relationships, and that's important.
Absolutely. I mean, through his hard work and his integrity, he did build those relationships. And it you're so right, it is a relationship business, because at the end of the day, we're all providing the same service. It's a homogenous product that we're offering, and you have to find ways to differentiate yourself. And it's absolutely a relationship business. And and we find that very often, especially when it comes to November, when we get a nice mare or a nice filly off the track to sell, it's because you have an established relationship with the owner or with the person.
Comrade, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us. And for those of you out there, if you'd like to learn more about Denali and everything they do, their website is denalistud.com. That's DenaliStud.com. You can learn all about them, their team, their consignments, their past accomplishments. You can even apply for a job with them right there on their website.
It's really, always looking for good help, that's for sure.
really easy site to navigate and very informational. Thanks for taking the time this morning.
Yeah, thanks, Bobby. Thanks, Jude. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Really love it. Conrad Banderoff, the vice president out at Denali Stud. They have a great program there. They've had a great program for many, many years. And Malathat, big name in this year's Breeders' Cup, who went through their program, ended up selling for just over $1 million as a yearling back in 2019. And she's going to be a major player in this year's Breeders' Cup Distaff. She's already banked over $1.5 million in her career. So far, so good.
Yeah,
for Malathat.
It's tough to win yourself out of $1 million, right?
And
that's not easily done.
No, and she's done it before the end of her three-year-old campaign. So it's fantastic. We're certainly wishing the best for Malathat and for everything that Denali is involved with. They do a great job out there, and a really easy website to navigate and very informational. We're going to take a break and wrap up our final day of the Breeders' Cup Countdown. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
The Breeders' Cup runs here.
There will be a fourth jewel in the crown. He's an everlasting credit to the sport. American Pharoah has belted a grand slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic. He wins it in 2 minutes flat.
Only on HRRN.
Dino Rosso, the most accomplished racehorse by leading sire Curlin. An undefeated two-year-old and major Kentucky Derby prep race winner as a three-year-old, multiple Grade 1 winner Vino Rosso won the Eclipse Award for Older Dirt Male at 4 after a dominant victory in the 2019 Breeders' Cup Classic, just like his sire Curlin a dozen years prior.
And it's a vintage performance by Vino Rosso!
Look for the highly anticipated first crop of weanlings selling in November by champion Vino Rosso, standing at Spendthrift Farm.
Where did Essential Quality, Latruska, She Dares the Devil, CZ Rocket, Silver State, and several others begin their journey to the Breeders' Cup? Oaklawn, of course. Put your horse on the path to success at the richest winter race meet in the country, now starting even earlier on Friday, December 3rd. Make plans to be part of an exciting 66 days of racing through Sunday, May 8th, and be sure to go to oaklawn.com to book your hotel rooms. Oaklawn, Arkansas's only racing casino resort.
Grade 1 winner and track record setter Lee. Like their sire, his runners have excelled on both dirt and turf, including these standout performers.
And Dipping In will steal this one. And do you see it? Dipping In on top by Link.
Fastest in Queen Nakia. Here's the finish. Gibberish wins the treasure chest.
Out of a Galileo mare, this dual-surface star has sired juvenile stakes winners on both dirt and turf. Lee, standing at Claiborne Farm.
This is Christophe Clément. You are listening to the Horse Racing Video Network.
This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms.
Welcome back to the final segment here on the Breeders' Cup Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms. Boy, it's been a whirlwind last 3 days here at the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club for Jude Feld and myself. Want to thank all of our guests who we've had these past 3 days, and especially thank our title sponsor, Hillendale Farms, for making it possible. It has been a fantastic last 3 mornings. We've got a lot of information. We've heard from a lot of the major players, jockeys, trainers, owners, breeders with Breeders' Cup connections. Heard a lot of good things, heard a little bit of bad news with some late scratches coming out. It's been a fun 3 days. Want to remind everybody, Race Day presented by Twin Spires coming up today, 3 to 6 Eastern Time, presented by Twin Spires. Once again, BreedersBristNet.com call-in show, 6 to 7 p.m. tonight. We'll have live coverage of all 14 Breeders' Cup races right here on HRRN. You can see the schedule at HorseRacingRadio.net. On behalf of our producers, Lee Delapina and Sean C., my co-host Jude Feld, I'm Bobby Newman. Thanks so much for joining us on the Breeders' Cup Countdowns presented by Hillendale Farms.